You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a football game tonight, boys, and it's a big football game. We're going to be breaking it down with some big-time guests on the program today. It's going to be great to have Warren Sharp back in the rotation after a couple of weeks off. Warren's had a rough run as of late, not with his picks, but lost both of his grandparents recently. So our condolences to Warren. We appreciate him taking the time to be with us and join us on the program today to break down a huge football game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders. We're talking about the AFC West lead. We're talking about a potential first-round bye in the AFC playoffs. There's a lot at stake this evening. Teddy Cover is going to give us his perspective on this game and many others as well. He'll join us from Ted's Sportsbook and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you're wondering, Ted's Sportsbook and Casino, because people are actually asking me about this now. No, it's not really a real place. It's not really a real place. It's Teddy's garage, essentially. It just looks like a sports book. Might as well be a sports book, but nevertheless, Teddy Covers steps up and in and joins us. So we got two of the premium cappers in the industry. And oh yeah, we've got a dude that's participated in more Super Bowls than anybody else in the history of the National Football League. Former head coach of the Denver Broncos, the Atlanta Falcons, and the New York Giants, Dan Reeves, joins us on the program today. Of course, Dan Reeves was a Dallas Cowboy player, Super Bowl champion with the Dallas Cowboys, was an assistant with the Pokes, of course, head coach. He's from the Tom Landry chain, so I guess it's Cowboys week this week. It's interesting. Dak Prescott says that everybody wants to watch the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are America's team again. And it's the first time that people are like, whoa, whoa, chill out, Dak. Whoa, whoa, chill out. You ain't done Jack just yet. You ain't done Dak just yet. But I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Giants. But that's another story. So pretty cool. We got Teddy Covers. We got Dan Reeves. And we've got Warren Sharp on the program today. And we also have a first on Game Time Decisions. And, you know, we're moving in on 3 years here at the Fantasy Sports Network around the corner this spring. And so it's hard to believe that we have never had a Who Ruined Your Wednesday before. How can I go any other way right now? Last night we told you the Los Angeles Clippers were going to hang with the Golden State Warriors. I like the over more than I like the side last night. And I went pretty damn big on the over last night. Anybody's been paying attention to our hoop picks this year in the association, we've been killing it, man. All right. We've been doing very, very good on the hardwood, yet our money management at times is a problem. All right. And last night it was a problem. You know, we had a good night last night betting basketball, and then we had the late night game, and I'm thinking, you know what, this game's going to be a track meet. It's going to get into the 230s to the 240s, and we're going to really, really hit the book strong going into Thursday's football game. So I load up on the basketball game. And you know when you bet on a UFC fight, and like, you know you're on the wrong side immediately, like 10 seconds in, you're like, oh crap, I bet on the wrong dude. Like, I knew basically 30 seconds into this game, oh crap, I'm in a lot of trouble. There's Chris Paul. There's Chris Paul. And you notice anybody that is in a State Farm commercial freaking sucks after the fact. So there's Chris Paul. And he gets teed up less than 30 seconds into the basketball game. Because that's leadership right there, Chris. That's showing that you're committed, right? You got freaking a technical foul less than 30 seconds into the game crying about a call. Like, seriously, dude? Like, Chris Paul is, like, more thin-skinned than Donald Trump is. I better be careful. Donald Trump might start, like, tweeting at me and calling me a loser, too. So, you know, Chris Paul starts freaking out right 30 seconds into the basketball game, and then basically disappears after the fact. Then we got Blake Griffin. What was he, 5 for 200 last night from the field? You know, he was 5 of 20 from the field. Repeatedly taking 20-foot jump shots. You know, no movement whatsoever. No effort on the defensive end whatsoever. And if I have to watch DeAndre Jordan brick free throws ever again, I'm going to go buy Smith & Wesson and put a bullet in my head and just freaking end it, all right? The guy's terrible, man. You're making like max money. You can't even hit a freaking free throw. 8-year-old girls at the local YMCA can hit a free throw. Like, to me, hitting a free throw it's almost like a football running back, all right? You got this running back, dude, and man, he's blazing fast. He's like Usain Bolt. He's awesome. But there's only one little problem. He can't, like, hang on to the football when you hand it off to him. Shooting a free throw is a fundamental function. It's like urinating. It should be that easy. It's like taking your big hog out, DeAndre, and taking a leak. Can you do that? I don't even think this guy could do that. Can you piss towards the free throw? Can you piss towards the basket? Look, I can't take this guy anymore. The Clippers are the definition of insanity, too. Same piece of crap roster and expecting different results. You guys can beat the crap out of the Sacramento Kings all that you want. But whenever the going gets tough, you guys get going into the concourse, into your cars, on the way home, like the bunch of wusses that you are. And there's Doc Rivers last night. I don't even blame Doc Rivers. I like Doc Rivers. I think Doc Rivers is a great coach. Doc Rivers is sitting there watching this, and I know the look. I've seen it before. Doc Rivers had that sort of soft, distant glare. It's sort of like a parent watching their kid get sentenced to death type of deal. You know, your kid's a monster. The parent's sitting there like, they know. There's nothing they can do. It's over. And, we got Blake Griffin's a free agent. They got to bust this thing up. It might only be December right now, but I'm telling you right now, the Clippers are a fraud, and this team needs to be broken up, and they're going to be broken up because the definition of insanity is throwing the same stiffs on the court and expecting different freaking results. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, I'm excited for tonight's football game, man. All the talk about the National Football League and the ratings being down this year, it was due to the fact the election and due to the fact that, like, the Chicago Bears were on TV four times on primetime in the first 8 weeks of the season. Business is picking up, man, and these games are critical. This game is critical for home field. It's critical as far as the division is concerned. The Buffalo Bill, Pittsburgh Steeler game is critical. We got a Colt Titans game that's critical. We got a bunch of huge football games. Warren Sharp's going to join us, one of the best in the business. Warren's back in the rotation after a couple of weeks off tonight. We have a man who participated in 9 freaking Super Bowls, man. Former head coach Dan Reeves and Super Bowl champion is, it's hard to believe, but yeah, Dan Reeves was a player in the old days with the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll talk some Cowboy football like we did yesterday with Drew Pearson. Great stuff with Pearson. Yesterday, man. And it's always great breaking it down with Teddy Cover, straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ted Savransky, sportsmemo.com, one of the covers experts. SBR Sports Bit videos available daily on YouTube. Always a pleasure, Teddy. What's up?
Morenci, what's the good word today, my friend?
Let's rock and roll, Teddy. Great, great time of the year, isn't it, man? Just the football games, these games count, man.
They count a lot. And there's a bunch of games that count a lot. Let's talk about them.
Yeah, let's all right. Speaking of games that count, before we get into the National Football League, the playoff bracket was set. It was 14 and a half. I had Malinsky on earlier in the week, and it was up to 16 and a half when I had Dave on. I think it was on Tuesday, and we were expecting 17s, and then boom, I looked this morning and I see it's been bet down to 15 right now. Teddy, you're on the West Coast. We've all seen Washington play, but you being on the West Coast, no East Coast bias, how good are the Washington Huskies? And are you giving them a shot?
They're really good, but there is one potentially fatal flaw. That means that this game has to be priced higher than 2 touchdowns. And that, of course, is the quarterback play from Jake Browning. The Huskies did not face a brutal schedule this year, and twice they stepped up in defensive class near the end of the season. They had the championship game against Colorado, and they had the game at home against USC. And in those two games, Jake Browning wasn't just bad. He was god-awful. Okay, and when you have a relatively young quarterback, we know he's talented. We know that he can take care of business when he's not under pressure. But when you have a QB who makes mistakes against Alabama, that's problematic. So this line's not going to go down below two touchdowns, and I would expect it will continue to creep back up towards Alabama, given the concerns about Browning's ability to step up in class against the best defense that any of us has ever seen.
You know, it's funny you say that, actually, Teddy, because I was thinking it sounds simplistic, but somebody asked me about the game, and I said the X factor is Washington's quarterback. Because, you know that, Gaskin's going to be fine. You know Ross is going to be fine, Pettis, et cetera. The defense, they'll do their thing. They got a great offensive line. But if you're going to beat Alabama, you need to be an elite, you have to have elite quarterback play, Teddy. That's what it comes down to. He needs to make the throws.
Yeah, and
you can throw on Bama. You can make plays, but you have to have the balls in the pocket to do it.
Well, I mean, and we've seen Browning make plays at times this season, but twice he's been under pressure, twice the offensive line hasn't been able to give him the time that he needs, and twice he's been inept. And when you're talking about Alabama's pass rush, we're talking about Alabama's defense. You say you can throw on Alabama. I mean, come on, Gabe. That's as good a college football defense as I've ever seen. I've been in Vegas since 1998. I don't recall seeing a defense better than what we've seen from Alabama this year. They score as many touchdowns as they give up.
That's
crazy. I'm not asking if Washington can win. I'm asking is, can Washington compete? You know, when you talk about a two-touchdown underdog, if I make a play on the Huskies in this game, it's not going to be Washington on the money line. Let's put it that way.
I'm like a kid waiting, Christmas, looking under the tree if the gift is there yet. I keep looking for totals, Teddy. I'm waiting for some totals on this.
I thought we'd have something to talk about by today. Surprised that we don't.
Yeah, I want to bet the over this game. You know, indoors, Bama's putting up points. As you mentioned, man, 25 different guys scored touchdowns on Alabama. I think it was 14 touchdowns from their defense or special teams. Mostly the defense. I don't see how this game is not a track meet, but I just wanted to get your quick take on that. And quickly on Ohio State and Clemson, some 3.5s popping up now.
Yeah, and that's a game that for me is all, I have no strong opinion on Ohio State Clemson from the get-go. It's one that I'm thinking about. And part of me thinks that the Buckeyes defense is real, better than Clemson, and the other part of me thinks that I don't want to lay points with JT Barrett against Deshaun Watson. So, the good news about these games is that we got plenty of time to think about them. You know, I know the guys that are, we got to get down right now. No, you don't. Wait, see what the market does. I'm much more.
Right, in college, half the team could get suspended, Teddy. You don't know what's going to happen. Exactly. There was an incident. Kids went out in Glendale. especially Ohio State. Would it shock you? Kids, look at Boykin punched a cop in the face last year before the bowl game, Teddy.
Sure did.
Remember? You know what I'm saying? It, literally 2 days before the bowl game, Boykin, punches a security guard, takes a swing at a cop, and, that was that. All right, so tonight, Teddy, huge football game. We've started to see weather is becoming a factor. Wind has become a factor in the National Football League right now. My old question about the Raiders, when people ask me if the Raiders are for real, is can the Raiders buckle up, run the football, play defense, in bad weather in January? Because before it was hypothetical if they were going to the Ravens or whatnot. But, this is a playoff-style football game tonight. And truth be told, man, Derek Carr didn't do very well. I don't know why I still call him David. David's
been gone. I have the same problem.
David's been gone for a while. But Derek Carr, he really struggled in that first game against the Chiefs. Teddy, weather's going to be a factor tonight, man. It's cold and rainy and windy tonight in KC.
I don't want KC. There's been a long time over the last two seasons where the Chiefs have been an undervalued commodity. All right. This is a team that isn't sexy. They don't blow you out. They're methodical. They play defense. They don't get blown out, and they give themselves a chance to win at the end. Those aren't the type of teams that tend to attract a ton of betting market attention, and KC hasn't. They've largely been an undervalued commodity, both down the stretch last year and through the first three quarters of the season this year. But there are some fundamental flaws for Kansas City. They're getting outgained every week. And that can go on for a moderate period of time with wins and covers. That won't go on forever. And of course, how are they doing? They've lost a yardage battle each of the last 5 weeks. They've gone 4-1 straight up and against the spread in those games. How are they doing it? Lots of big plays, lots of defensive scores, lots of special team scores, and of course, the NFL's best plus 14 turnover margin for KC. And the Chiefs are built to win the turnover battle the same way New England is built. You know, they have a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, and they have a defense that can create turnovers. But when you get largely outplayed week after week after week, and you keep winning games, there's some fraudulent element in there. And certainly with KC price 3.5, I'm seeing out there right now, to me, that seems a little bit high considering. And of course, the first meeting was the mother of all good spots for Kansas City. They were coming off a loss and a bye, and it was not exactly a great spot for Oakland. They were coming off 3 straight wins, including a hard-fought divisional victory at San Diego the previous week. Chiefs came in. They had a good game plan. They shut Carr down. It was as good a game as Kansas City's played all year. But this is not a series you can lay points in. Look, the road team is 21-6 in the last 27 meetings against the spread. The Raiders have covered 8 of their last 10 visits to Arrowhead. And Oakland's in revenge for the first meeting, and the Raiders are the better of these two teams. So all of those factors tell me I ain't laying with KC tonight as Oakland or pass if I'm going to get involved.
One thing that I want to note about the Raiders, and you know, it's funny because last week a couple of fraudulent teams on 6-game win streaks were exposed in the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants. I almost think it's the theme of the year this year, Teddy, in the National Football League. Teams, you know, Bill Parcells said you are what your record says you are. I'm not sure some of these teams are as good as their record says they are. And I wonder about the Raiders. You know, Teddy, they haven't played a road game since the day before Halloween on October the 30th. You know, that's pretty cushy, man. They've been in the state of California. They went to Mexico City one night, and they went right back to California. You know, this is going to be a challenge, but time's flying by, Teddy. I'm getting told, you know, we already only have 5 minutes left, so let's go rapid fire, like a minute per game here so we can get as much information out there as possible. Texans and Colts. This is Brock Osweiler, put up or shut up. Dude, you're making a lot of money. This game's indoors. You're against the Colts defense. Texans are getting 6. What's your take?
Well, you know, I liked Indy on Monday Night Football against the Jets. I was able to cash a pretty easy ticket with that game. It was priced in near pick'em. You know, now Indy's got to win by a TD or more, coming off a big national TV blowout win. I think the Colts are the better of these two teams, and I want no part of the Houston Texans with Brock Osweiler. The nationwide criticism that he's gotten has been well deserved. A guy who has not lived up to his fat contract. And again, John Elway passed on Brock Osweiler and said, I'm going to go with Trevor Siemian instead. All right. Elway's a pretty good judge of quarterbacks. And when he let Osweiler go, that might have been a red flag for the rest of us. I can only take Indy. The price isn't right to take Indy. I'm probably not going to get involved in the game.
Cowboys and Giants. So we've talked about the Pokes a lot, you and I. So here they are right now. 2 weeks in a row, actually, the Pokes did not cover a point spread. Teddy, it's going to be a monster media hype around this game on Sunday night.
Yeah, and this game's got push written all over it, doesn't it? you know, with Dallas -3. Yeah. I'm expecting a competitive game. I don't think Dallas is going to run the Giants out of the gym. The first meetings of the two, out of the gym, off the field. But the first meeting, obviously a one-point game where the Giants handed Dallas their only loss of the season in Dak Prescott's debut. Certainly, the Giants are a team that is not being respected in the markets. We saw it last week in the game at Pittsburgh where the money came against the Giants. We saw it again this week where Dallas going into the new Meadowlands with MetLife Stadium as road chalk. And as you mentioned, it's been a problem for Dallas. This was a team that was covering every week. The markets have caught up. Problem is that I think the Cowboys are the better of these two teams. So no bargains with Dallas. Maybe a little bit on the Giants, you know, but again, it's not a game that I'm running to the betting window to get involved with.
As you mentioned, a one-point game, and in fact, the last 4 games in the series have been decided by 12 points. So the last 4 games have all been really close. All right, we got 2 minutes, Teddy. San Antonio Spurs just keep on winning on the road, baby. They haven't lost on the road yet. They're moving in on an NBA record this evening. They're laying 4 against the Bulls and the Warriors, man. Last night, they looked like the Globetrotters next to the Washington Generals. Generals that were the Clippers. I ripped the Clippers off the top of the program. What a gutless performance last night. Laying nine. Utah are good, but they never beat good teams. But I am a Utah Jazz backer and fan. What do you make tonight? Spurs laying the four, is it too much? And Warriors laying nine, man. It's a lot of points.
Yeah, well, we just announced Gordon Hayward's going to be out for Utah tonight. That's a big loss, especially considering they're already without George Hill, their starting point guard, and Derek Favors, their starting power forward.
Yeah, I was wondering, Teddy, why it went up from five to nine.
Yeah. It's somebody else is out tonight for the Jazz. I think it's Rodney Hood. You know, they're missing four key contributors, including their starting backcourt. So it's going to be a tough task for them against Golden State, but the spot isn't right to lay nine on the road with the Warriors. The Warriors are doing something special right now, though. The Clips are gutless. If you're going to say the Clips are gutless, every team that's played Golden State for the last 3 weeks has been gutless, because that's what the Warriors are doing. They are at a very high level offensively right now. And most importantly, early, remember, in November, their defense was down, their rebounding was way down from last year. Those numbers are moving right up. And when you look at the season-long stats, they're not even giving you the full picture, because over the last 3 weeks or so, they've been elite. Defense, rebounding, offense. I'm not stepping in front of Golden State. As for San Antonio, did you see what the Spurs did the other night at Minnesota? No Tony Parker, all right? Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge combined, I think, 17 points and 9 rebounds, all right? When you have Gasol, Kawhi Leonard had one rebound in that game. And, oh, by the way, they won by double digits. You know, their stars, none of them showed up. None of them played. And they still win by doubles. That Spurs team is so deep right now, I hesitate to step in front of them on the highway.
There he is, Teddy Covers. You can find him over at sportsmemo.com. You can get his picks as well at Covers Experts. So just shop around and see what suits you, and check out his daily video, the Sports Bit video, SBR.com. Thanks for the time, Teddy.
Hey, pleasure. Check me out on ESPN2 tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern time. A little Vice World of Sports piece. Gabe, are you in that? You might be in that, too.
No, I didn't get the call.
You're not in it, then.
That's what happens. I don't answer my phone. I must have missed it.
Right on. But, yeah, that's tonight, late tonight.
ESPN, too. I'm actually going to the Raptor T-Wolf game tonight, actually. So
should be a lot of fun.
I'll check it out. Check it out after. You know what? I like the Raptors better than 7.5, up to 9 right now. But Raps blow out bad teams at home.
Raps have been real good. I've been on. DeMar DeRozan has been unbelievable this year.
Yeah, no, he really has. Raised his game to another level. Always a pleasure, Teddy. Well, I look forward to, I'll tweet out the ESPN piece.
Cheers.
There's Teddy Covers with us. Check him out on ESPN 2 tonight. All right, we take a quick break. Former head coach, National Football League head coach Dan Reeves steps up and in Game Time Decision continues. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does our run of epic and legendary National Football League players and coaches. Been a great couple of weeks, man. You know, who haven't we had on the program in the past couple of weeks? But it was great breaking it down with Coach Dick, and I love talking with coaches because they've been there and they've done that. And we're now joined by a man who's participated in more Super Bowls than anybody else in the history of the game, be it as a player, as an assistant coach, or of course as a head coach. And we're now joined by the former head coach of the Denver Broncos, Atlanta Falcons, New York Giants, and former Dallas Cowboys standout Dan Reeves joins us. Coach, it's always a pleasure. How you doing today, sir?
Doing great, Gabe. How about yourself?
Hey, we're doing fine, Coach. I look forward to talking to some football with you. It's a great time of the year right now, and I just had a guest on earlier. We were talking about how critical these games are right now at this time of the year, Coach, and whether you're fighting to get into the playoffs or you've got a good record and, you know, you're trying to build some momentum going in. I look back at past Super Bowl winners in recent memory, Coach, and seems like so many of them started to peak at this time of the year in December. How important is it to sort of be climbing that ladder going into the playoffs?
Well, there's no question. When you're in the hunt, you know, the playoff, every week is like a playoff game, and that's what gets you ready for, you know, making the playoffs. You got to be playing good. You got to be able to hopefully stay healthy, you know, at the right time. But, you know, if you're playing good football, you know, when you reach, December, then certainly you got a great chance to do well in the playoffs.
Jerry Jones did an interview earlier in the week on Dallas Radio in which he stated that he wants the starters to play. Even if everything's locked up, that he doesn't want to rest guys, with the exception of Dak Prescott, because he'd like Tony Romo to get some action before the playoffs begin. How would you handle this, Coach, if you were the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I think that's a good point. You need to, to play your guys. You just don't want to lose the momentum that you have. The way they've been playing, you want to keep that going. And the only way to do that is continue to play and play hard. And that was Coach Landry, the way he approached things. If you don't go out and play 100%, that's when you got the best chance of getting hurt and, losing that momentum. So you want to play hard, every single game, regardless of who you're playing.
Yeah, I guess, Coach, is it true? So the cliche is true. If you're worried about getting hurt, you're going to get hurt, right?
That's a good point. Yeah, there's a good chance if you say it that way, you certainly are.
All right. So as far as the quarterback situation is concerned, it's been interesting this year. Dak Prescott came out of nowhere right now, but it's kind of a double edge. It's kind of weird, isn't it, Coach? Because if they have a bye week, you don't want Dak not playing for that long, right? It's such a delicate balancing act, isn't it?
Well, it really is at that position in particular. You just got to, do things, that you normally do, keep that momentum going, and certainly at the quarterback position, that's really important.
So, Coach, yesterday we had Drew Pearson on the program, former Dallas Cowboy, a great wide receiver, and we were talking about Coach Landry a little bit, and I was talking about the characters that the Cowboys had and how did Coach Landry deal with it, and he said, he kind of stayed out of everyone's personal life. As long as you're responsible on the field, he was all about discipline. When you were on the Cowboys, there wasn't quite the Showtime Cowboys quite just yet, but is it safe to say that Coach Landry had the most influence on you as a football player?
Oh, without question. I spent 16 years of my life, in pro football with Coach Landry, and certainly my philosophy and the things that I, tried to teach as a head coach, he was the one that had the biggest influence on me.
So Pearson told me that Coach Landry hated being called America's team. He didn't want to be called America's team. And it's funny because I saw Dak Prescott is upsetting people. He's like, we're America's team and everybody wants to watch us. And Jerry loves to embrace that America's team stuff. But Landry wasn't down with America's team, was he?
No, it really was like you had a target on your back. Everybody hated the fact that, people didn't feel the same way about them. I mean, every week was, a very difficult week because, people were saying that. And we just tried to be the Dallas Cowboys, not worry about, people were saying about America's team. We just tried to play week in and week out to be the best we could be and represent the Dallas Cowboys.
Coach, I want to talk a little bit about the Denver Broncos at their quarterback situation this year. Elway's got to be losing sleep at night the way this is going. I don't want to upset you, Coach, but I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. And I'm sorry. But it reminded me of the time. Remember, you guys went in there, and I think you lost John, you lost Gary, and it was Herman Moore that ended up having to play a game for you. And the conference championship game, right?
Yeah, it was. It was a big game, and no question that it is very difficult. You have a quarterback that's been there quite a while, like Peyton Manning was, and then you bring in a young quarterback. It's certainly going to be a lot of big changes, just like when we brought John Elway in as a rookie. We got better as the year went along, but you got to be out there and be under fire for you to get better. So no, you got to learn. It's a tough thing to do, and when you're defending world champions and all of a sudden you're a young quarterback playing for a team like that, you just got to play and hopefully not make the mistakes, and they got a great defense, so you got a chance every week if you just don't have a quarterback that's going to lose the game for you.
Coach, there's a lot of people in Denver, and there's been a lot of columns that are written over the years that you don't get enough you don't get enough credit in the lineage, so to speak, of the Denver Broncos recent success right now. And I know you've said that you always felt that Gary Kubiak could be of great head coach in the National Football League. How does it make you feel now to see two of your guys in John Elway and both Gary Kubiak being as successful as they are?
They've done a great job, and of course John has a great background. His dad was a super football coach. You know, when he was growing up, he also, you know, took over USFL, a World Football League team, you know, and managed it. So he's had some training, and Gary Kubiak just had a great football mind. When he was on the sideline with me as a backup to John Elway, he always gave me a lot of suggestions. He had just a great feel for the game, and I knew he would be a great coach.
A pretty bold executive too, isn't he, Coach? In the sense that he's not shy. Look at last year with the Peyton Manning situation. You know, they sat him down. They brought in Brock Osweiler. They sat Brock down. They didn't want to pay Brock the big money after the fact. But, you know, do you believe, is Paxton Lynch the future? People are talking about maybe Tony Romo ending up in Denver. Do you see Denver, you know, going on with sort of a stopgap quarterback situation? Do you like Paxton Lynch? How do you think they move forward?
I think John has a great feel for that position, so I think he'll do a great job one way or another, you know, and has a better feel than I would, you know, being an outsider looking in.
So the Atlanta Falcons, I want to ask you about the Falcons, Coach, another team that, did a great, great job with. This is a good football team. And, you know, we've seen in past years the Falcons would win games and then sort of, you know, they'd fold as the season goes on and they'd get mentally broken down. I don't see that from this football team. I just see a team that sort of has really bad luck in the final minutes of games, Coach. But they seem to be hanging in here together. I like the makeup of this Falcons team. What's your take on this team, and how do you think they do from here on out now that Tampa's caught them?
Well, you know, their defense, they got a tremendous offensive football team, and, you know, their defense is very young. Dan Quinn has, got a lot of young players playing. I think they got a chance to get better as the season goes along. Lost a very difficult loss last week. You don't see many, you know, extra points, ran back for 2 points and lose a football game like that. So, you know, it's been a good season for them. I think they're getting better as a league, you know, season goes along. Got some tough games coming up because they're still in the hunt, along with Tampa Bay is right there with them. And, you know, so it's going to be a great race here coming down through the stretch.
What do you think about tonight's game, Coach? We got the Raiders and the Chiefs, the Broncos all battling. It's like old school, man. It's like we've shaken things up. We've gone back 20 years in time, Coach.
Yeah, it sounds like when I first came in today at C-West with, you know, Denver, Oakland, Kansas City, all those teams. It is. You're right. The Raiders were ruling the things at that time. And, you know, it should be a great football game. I don't think there's any team playing any better than the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
There's a lot of talk about Coach Jack Del Rio being the coach of the year. And I'm looking at the candidates and I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of guys that are doing a bang-up job this year. Jack Del Rio's doing a great job. Bill Belichick, he's never going to get the credit that he deserves. But, you know, the Patriots are doing a hell of a job, too. They played 4 games without Tom Brady. Didn't miss a beat. They're rolling along. Coach Jim Caldwell in Detroit's doing a great job. And everyone talks about Dak Prescott, and everyone talks about the line and Ezekiel Elliott. But, you know, Jason Garrett's doing a great job as well. Who do you think is the coach of the year if you had a vote, Coach?
Well, I think no question that, the Raiders have been a surprise team as far as they're as good a football team as I've seen. And to come from where they were when, he took over, I would have to give him my vote.
All right. Coach Dan Reeves with us. Before we let you go, Coach, you're also a proud South Carolina Gamecock. Coach Muschamp did a great job this year putting this thing together, going to a bowl game. I think the future is bright, Coach. Smash mouth defense, run the football. It's a recipe for success.
I think that's a great formula, and of course he knows the Southeastern Conference as well as anybody, and he did. He had a great first year, in coming into a difficult league, replacing a great football coach. He came in a tough situation, did a great job. So looking forward to what the future holds, you know, for the Gamecocks.
Coach, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. An early happy holidays to you and yours. It's always a pleasure, Coach.
Gabe, thank you, man. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you.
There's Coach Dan Reeves with us on Game Time Decisions. Going to take a quick break. Warren Sharp's going to join us. We're going to break down tonight's football game from a numbers standpoint. Nobody does it better than Warren. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Teddy Covers and to Dan Reeves for joining us on the program. Class act, Dan Reeves. Real nice guy. We're not going to get porn stories out of everyone like we did yesterday from Drew Pearson. All right. As you notice, the guests we've been getting, we've got some real serious cats, man. So, you know, Ditka's a serious guy. Reeves a serious guy. Pearson's more of a joker. Stockton's pretty serious. Let's be real. The older guys are serious, all right? It is what it is. Warren Sharp's serious about making money for you. One of the best cappers in the business, sharpfootballanalysis.com is a must visit. He's a must follow on Twitter. He does live periscopes before the primetime games. He is a total expert, but also knows what he's doing when it comes to sides as well. Warren Sharp joins me. Warren, it's always a pleasure. Great to have you back, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back. Certainly looking forward to breaking some of these matchups down. We got some good matchups as the season is ending here soon, and teams are fighting for their playoff lives, so to speak.
Well, weather is going to be a factor tonight, Warren. I mean, we got home field. We got first place on the line, a potential first-round bye. It's the Raiders. It's the Chiefs. Finally, one of these Thursday night division games actually means something. This is pretty cool stuff tonight, and weather's going to be a factor tonight, Warren. It's it's cold, it's windy, and from what I understand, there's ice starting to accumulate right now on the field. Now, obviously, they're going to thaw the field and all that stuff, but nevertheless, weather will be a factor in tonight's football game.
Yeah, and I'm actually looking to buck that trend. You know, I feel like a lot of people look at cold. They look at any weather. It doesn't matter what the weather is. It could be a little bit of rain. It could be a lot of rain. It could be a little bit of snow. It could be a lot of snow. It could be a little bit of wind, a lot of wind, or anything that's cold. And they want to simply say, well, this game, you know, how are points going to come from this game? Look at the weather. And I actually am looking against that angle. You know, as long as the wind isn't bad and there's absolutely zero precipition, of course, if the field is in some way, I know they're talking about they laid a tarp on the field, the surface of the field. It got a little bit of ice underneath of it. The field has heaters. They're trying to heat it up and remove some of that layer of ice. Obviously, the temperature's not going to get that high, so they're going to try to use the heaters to help, and maybe hopefully it will be somewhat playable as opposed to just slick and icy like we saw that Hall of Fame game before the season where it was like slick and hard because of the paint and they canceled the game. Hopefully that doesn't happen, of course, but I think that we're overestimating what this Oakland Raiders defense is. This is a very bad defense. It's a defense that's very bad despite playing the second easiest schedule of opposing offenses since week four. The teams that they've been playing have been terrible offensively. We're talking about totally one-dimensional teams with decent defenses and bad offenses. The Jaguars, the Texans, I mean, you name their schedule. They played a lot of these teams, and they're still allowing points. I think the Chiefs are actually going to surprise us a little bit with what they can do offensively, even though they've struggled a little bit and had to score non-conventional routes with kick returns and things and interception returns and things of that nature.
My concern about this, and I'm generally an overbetter, as you know, Warren, but you know, my deal is right now it's 19 degrees, so it's real cold. Like, it's not just, you know, and I totally agree with you, because whether it's drizzling or not, or there's a little snow, people jump on this automatic. You know, and last week I didn't get discouraged. I like the over in a Bears-Niners game, and I don't think it stayed under because of the weather. I think it stayed under because Colin Kaepernick sucked. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it stayed under because of the weather. You're right. But what do you say, Warren, as I play devil's advocate, that they played earlier this year, it was 26-10, that both games went under last year as well. It seems like these two teams generally play in the low 20s against each other.
Well, and to that last game, I could tell you, I was looking at that game in a lot of detail because I was on that game. And that game started off what I thought was going to be just a little bit of rain, maybe not too much.
Yeah.
It ended up being a torrential downpour that entire first half. And they still put up 23 points on the board combined in that first half. The Raiders had, I believe it was, five offensive drives. The first drive, they drove all the way down, scored a touchdown. The second drive, the second play, they threw an interception. The third and fourth drives of that first half, they drove down. They missed. Janikowski misses a field goal. They got down to like the Chiefs 32-yard line. He misses a field goal. So then they get down to that same exact spot, and they decide to go for it on fourth down. They turn it over on downs. The last drive of the half, they got all the way down there, and they kicked a field goal, and they made it this time. So they had every single drive that first half, they didn't punt the ball at all. They were very successful producing points and yardage against the Chiefs, except they were just settling for field goals around the edge of field goal range. In the third quarter, their offense completely stopped. They're completely shut down. The rain sort of let up, and the offense just died for the Oakland Raiders at home. They ended up going down in the fourth quarter and fumbling the ball on the Kansas City 20-yard line. So I think every single game is designed differently. This Raiders team is a total over team this year.
Yeah.
Very good offensively, very bad defensively. It's a different team than they were last year when that pass rush was getting there and when they were totally different last year. And I think this Chiefs team also this season, as the season goes, they could have used Macklin last week, in my opinion. He practiced in full last Wednesday. They decided to hold him out, in my view, for this very game. If Macklin is there and he's healthy, and you combine him with some of the other, like Tyreek Hill that they're introducing on offense, and then Travis Kelce, here's the interesting stat on this game. The Kansas City Chiefs are actually the fourth most explosive passing offense in the NFL. And you'll say, what the heck are you talking about? They don't go down the field deep. And of course, you're absolutely right. Alex Smith is terrible throwing the ball deep, but I said explosive, not deep. Deep is a pass that's going 15 plus yards in the air. Explosive is any type of pass that's gaining 20 or more yards.
Yep.
That's how I'm defining it. And actually, the Kansas City Chiefs are the fourth best team at gaining 20 or more yards. They went against the number 31st ranked defense in explosive pass allowed last week. That was the Atlanta Falcons. Five of Alex Smith's 25 passes gained 20 plus yards. This week, the Oakland Raiders have the NFL's worst, number 32 defense against the explosive pass. So I think he can generate some chunk yardage, field changing yardage, not by going deep down the field, but by some of these plays that they develop and design that are turning medium-sized or short passes into bigger games.
And you know what, Warren, we're on the same page here, because you're right. You look at last week, Tyreek Hill's bringing an element that they didn't have, a little bit of explosiveness. Travis Kelce's been incredibly consistent over the last month or so. Spencer Ware is very underrated. And last week, actually, was only the second time all year that Alex Smith averaged over 10 yards per pass attempt. And I like the fake punt. I like the fact, as you stated, as the season goes along, we saw the comeback against Denver, very efficient, passing the ball down the field with the quick hitches. But I like that. I would run a similar offense, actually, if I was an OC. It's safe, but it's efficient. Pick up first downs and let's do it over again type of deal. And I find that Andy Reid is getting a little bit more adventurous as well, which I think he's going to have to do if the Chiefs are going to take the next step. I want to get some other games, Warren, but it sounds like you're leaning with the over here tonight, 46.
Yeah, I mean, I think once this weather, once this game gets on TV, people are going to look at it and say, wow, it looks so cold. They're going to see all the guys calling the game, sitting there in the pregame, shivering on the side. They're going to think, wow, it's so cold. This thing might get even lower. If it gets down to 45, 44 and a half, I'm not sure exactly where it goes from here.
Yeah.
But even at 46, my model has a little bit of value in the over. This gets bet even lower. I mean, I think that there's some solid value there towards the over.
I like the Chiefs tonight, Warren, but yeah, I seem to pick on the Raiders a lot this year. So for what it's worth, I like the Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, the Chiefs, certainly in my view, if you could have laid like minus 155 money line on them earlier today, that would have been a good move. But it is difficult because I've been against both of these teams for many games this season in terms of I think the Chiefs have won some games they should have lost. They lost in the stats, but they end up winning on the scoreboard at the end of the game. The Raiders, I still don't buy their defense. I think they can be exploited. And the Chiefs' offense is not a great one, but it's not a terrible one. It definitely can do some things offensively to move the ball against these guys.
Yeah, the Chiefs put up 23.4 points per game. The Raiders gave up 24.9 a game. So they're both pretty correlated right there. All right, Ward, another interesting football game here. If you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and you look at the Buffalo Bills and you talk about Big Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, and you look at the Buffalo Bills and Watkins has been hurt, hasn't done anything. McCoy is in and out of the lineup and Tyrod Taylor. Yet we have one team that's 7-1 to the over in their last eight games, and one team that is 7-1 to the under in their last eight games. And the team that is 7-1 to the under is the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's amazing to me, Warren, how the Steelers have been such an under team this year. 3-9 to the under. And it's not like Landry Jones been a quarterback all year.
Yeah, and they've been playing some pretty bad defenses as well along the way. I mean, you look, they played in three consecutive weeks. They played the Cowboys pass defense, then they played the Browns, and then they played the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Indy obviously without Andrew Luck in that game. But I kind of lean a little bit. I mean, I think that there might be some value, maybe not at two, but we'll see where this line goes, on the Buffalo Bills here. I think that they're going to have some success running the ball against the Steelers defense. I do think that Steelers defense has improved a little bit. I wanted to initially, before I ran my model, look towards the over in a game like this, but I just didn't see any value once I ran the model. Even at 47.5 or at 47, I don't see the value there. And of course, the number now is 46.5 at some spots. So it's taken a little bit of under money.
Warren, we've only got 1 minute, unfortunately, but your quick take on Tyrod Taylor. The Bills are going to be on the hook. They're going to have to give him $90 million. He's going to be their quarterback for the next 4 years if they keep him. But you know, I don't know what to do with this guy because he's not bad. They move the ball, but at the same point in time, he misses wide open receivers. He can't read defenses. He doesn't see down the field. He's a real tweener where he's good, but is he good enough to, you know, win in the playoffs and get you to the playoffs? What's your quick take on Tyrod Taylor?
The quick take is no. Don't do it. He's not worth it. There's other guys who can do something similar to him and bring something similar to the table. He's an okay quarterback. You're absolutely right. But he's not a guy that you want to be fully committed to for several years down the road and invest that larger percentage of your team's cap in. In my view, it'd be a total mistake.
I know. I like the kid too, man. And he's played hard for us and stuff. But you're right. You can't commit. It's like we're the Clippers doing the same thing over and over again. All right. We got to get out of here. It sucks. Ward. Next week, I don't know. Maybe we'll get one less guest on the show so we can go long with Warren. It's too fast. But check out Warren online. Sharp Football on Twitter and sharpfootballanalysis.com is his website, blogs and picks and everything else in between. Thanks, Warren.
You got it.
There's Warren Sharp with this show flew by. We'll come back with our plays of the day that I'm extremely confused about. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We got some massive games on the board this evening. Well, we got a massive game in the National Football League, and I'm somewhat perplexed and I'm somewhat confused, but there's been a lot of times that I've stood here freaking loving the picks, and we ended up losing. So it is what it is. I do like the Kansas City Chiefs to win this game, and I know, you guys are going to say, Marenzi, you bet against the Raiders every week. Well, it was looking pretty damn good last week for the first three quarters, wasn't it? But nevertheless, I think the Chiefs get it done tonight on their home field. I'm good. I never tease games. You guys know I never take the unders. But I'm teasing this game to the under. And it's not so much about the weather, but it is cold as hell there. It's going to be icy. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be windy. But fact is, the last three times these guys have played, it's gone under the number. It went under the number earlier this year in the rain in Oakland. I think it stays under the number. I'm going to go under 23 in the first half as well. Spencer Ware, Raiders can't stop the run. Spencer Ware over 74.5 yards. Travis Kelce, this guy's been on fire, man, over the last like 6-7 weeks. Let's go over 5.5 receptions. Long field goal, 44.5. Santos and Janikowski, two of the better kickers in the National Football League. Probably these long field goal props, a lot of coaches are going for it instead of going for longer field goals right now, and it's annoying. I'm going to this Raptor game tonight. I liked it better when it was 7.5, but I'm going to lay the 9. The Raptors kick the crap out of bad teams, and the T-Wolves are a bad team. I think the game's going to go over the number, and I'll take the Spurs and the Bulls. Spurs probably win again, but let's go over the number, over 201 other night. You're on your own. May the winners be yours.